President Truman's address to members of the Veterans Administration Voluntary Service in the Departmental Auditorium, 22 May 1952.
And now it is my great pleasure and honor to present the President of the United States.
Mr. Chairman, General Gray, distinguished guests, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm very happy to be here to participate in the meeting of the National Advisory Committee of the Veterans Administration Voluntary Services. I understand that you represent 40 different organizations which have joined together in the voluntary service program for our veterans hospitals. They tell me that you have about 70,000 people working in these hospitals on a voluntary basis. I think that's one of the finest things I ever heard of. And I want to compliment you most highly on it. It's a great public service, and I appreciate it as President of the United States representing all the people of America. When you can get 70,000 people to put aside their own business and to go to work in hospitals as you are doing, it is a real public service. The work of your volunteers shows that they understand how much we owe to the veterans who have fought for our country and for the world to save democracy. Our first obligation, of course, is to the veterans who are disabled because of their service, and to the families of those veterans who have been disabled or who have died in the service or been killed. The government has a responsibility to these veterans, and I think we have a good program for meeting that responsibility, just as General Gray has told you. But you people can furnish something the government never can provide, and that is the personal touch. Just a little bit of home. I have visited the wounded servicemen many times, both in veterans' hospitals and in the hospitals of the armed services. There's nothing that gives me more pride in my country than the spirit I have found in those young men. I paid a number of visits to Walter Reed in Bethesda during and after the war. Also, during World War II, I visited the hospital at Mare Island, where I met a Navy surgeon by the name of Kessler, Henry H. Kessler, Captain Henry H. Kessler he was then. He's doing the same sort of work now for the great state of New Jersey. I met a Navy surgeon who was interested in the rehabilitation of men who had lost arms and legs and other parts of their anatomy in the war. I went on to Brigham, Utah, to inspect another hospital where I found an Army surgeon by the name of John Lautenhauser. He was a colonel at that time, and he was just as enthusiastic as the Navy surgeon. I got those two gentlemen together, and that was the beginning of our rehabilitation program, which is now headed by Admiral McIntyre and which is doing magnificent work for all disabled people in the country as well as veterans. That rehabilitation program is one of the grandest things that this country has ever put on. Then in September of 1950, I made a trip out to a little island in the middle of the Pacific called Wake Island to confer with a certain general. On that trip, I stopped in California at Fairfield Suisun Air Base and visited a hospital there. They've changed the name of that base now and call it Travis Air Force Base. But they still have the hospital there where they bring the wounded from Korea. I spoke to every man in the hospital that night, and I had some of the most interesting conversations you ever listened to in your life with those men who had been wounded. I stopped at the great hospital in Honolulu as I came back, which was full of wounded Korean veterans, and I talked to them. And I want to tell you this. Those men know what it's all about. I wish everybody in this country were as well informed. There are some of the men who've been fighting in Korea, and they fought to hold back the communists. While we endeavor at this end to work out a solution that will bring about peace in the world, these young men are suffering in our effort to bring about that peace. There are some people in this country who say they don't know why we're in Korea. My suggestion to them is to go and visit these wounded Korean veterans, and they'll find out. They know, but they don't want to let on like they do, these people don't. The men I saw in the hospital in California, in Honolulu, knew why we're in Korea. They had seen the communist aggression at first hand, and they know why we have to fight against it. For all the people in this country, every one of us, understood the situation as well as the men who have been in Korea and who are there now, then we wouldn't have any trouble putting over the program for world peace. Some of those boys I saw in California and Hawaii had been fighting in the front lines only a few days earlier, 5,000 and 7,000 miles away in Korea. When our men in Korea are wounded, the handling and medical care they get is truly remarkable. Every conceivable method, including helicopters and airplanes, is used to get them to aid stations and hospitals. I've heard of cases where our pilots who crashed or bailed out behind enemy lines were picked up within 5 minutes. Behind enemy lines, mind you, they were picked up. One of our paratroopers who was injured in a jump north of Seoul was back in the air and on his way to the hospital in less than 2 minutes. We now have much better methods of treating the wounded than we had in World War I or even in World War II. In Korea, the doctors managed to save over 97% of the wounded who reached the frontline treatment stations. Isn't that a record? You ought to compare that record with the war between the states and with the Spanish-American War and with World War I. And it will show you what progress we have made in the medical profession in this great nation of ours. And you're making a contribution to that when you help rehabilitate these men and when you make them feel as if the people at home are interested in them. I know that every one of you here tonight will join with me in paying tribute to these medical people who are doing such a wonderful job in Korea. I also want to pay tribute to the people who provide medical services for our veterans after they leave the armed services. There's been a great improvement in the medical service of the Veterans Administration since the end of World War II. I know you people of the voluntary services are aware of this because you've seen it at first hand and have taken a part in it. General Hawley and Dr. Magnuson worked out ways and means for bringing in the best medical knowledge in the country and took many other steps to develop our outstanding medical department. Admiral Boone has carried on the good work they started to build a first-rate medical program for veterans. I'm sure this audience will be interested in knowing what is about to happen to this first-rate medical program. Up in the Congress, the so-called economy bloc has decided it's too expensive. So the House of Representatives lopped off $75 million of the money required to run that medical program. I hope the Senate will put the money back If it doesn't, it will just be too bad for many of those veterans who have the misfortune to stand in need of medical care. I wouldn't be surprised if the House of Representatives wouldn't like to see this money restored by the Senate. And they can go home and say how economy-minded they've been and the Senate kept them from doing it.